Hello and welcome to Tickets, a podcast series exploring the future of live experiences. Each episode, we take you behind the scenes with the visionaries, producers and operators delivering some of the most vital and innovative experiences around. From Broadway theatre to international boxing, virtual reality to retail. Tickets aims to join the dots between disciplines, share knowledge and new ideas, and better understand what goes into bringing these experiences to life. My name's Howard Gray. I'm the founder of H Bureau, a specialist consultancy practice helping media, entertainment and experience companies grow. Make a list of the most respected international festivals and Sonar is bound to feature. Starting in 1994 as a 3,000 capacity event in Barcelona, Sonar has grown to host over 120,000 attendees in the city each year and now has a presence in locations as diverse as Istanbul, Buenos Aires and Hong Kong. On the guest list today is Ventura Barber, CEO of Sonar's parent company, Advanced Music. Having known the Sonar founder since that very first edition, Ventura spent time at BMG and Yahoo Music before reconnecting with the founding Sonar team in 2009. In this conversation, we talk about how Sonar take their concept into new cities around the globe, the importance of featuring new technologies, and how brands are deepening their partnerships with festivals. Enjoy. Ventura, it's great to have you on the podcast today. I've been hoping to get Sonar involved in this since I started, as I've been to the festival, I think, maybe 7 or 8 times, and I'm a big fan. So I'm really pleased to have you here. Thanks for your time.
Thanks to you.
Let's start with a brief history of the festival. Sonar's been going 25 years now. Could you maybe explain briefly how the festival started and kind of its story and its timeline over the last 20 or so years?
Yes, actually, we are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. So we need to get back to 1994, when three of my partners, the founders, lived in Barcelona. Two of them were musicians, Sergio and Enric, and the third one was a journalist. And they were lacking a festival where the music that they like was put together under the same umbrella, which was a very different mix of genres and styles, as you can imagine. At that time also, it was very innovative the way that art and music was combined. And obviously the fact that the music festival was born actually in a museum institution building back on those days in Magba and CCCB. So it was a urban festival held in a museum institution. Very innovative for that time. Still is, right? We got the pleasure to program many different artists from many different genres. And probably the common line between those artists were the mix between technology and music and creativity, and how those musicians, in a way, used technology to push forward their work. Over those 25 years, has been a very organic growth of the festival, from very few attendees on the first year. Very few thousand of attendees, to last year that we have more than 120,000 visitors to Barcelona. That happens in mid-June, so beginning of summer. Another peculiarity of our music festival, and has been like this since day one, it's that we combine two venues. We have a Sonar Ballet, which takes place in the city center of Barcelona and goes from 1 p.m. to 11 or 12 a.m. And then you have Sonar by Night, which is a bigger venue, a little bit away from the city, but it's like 10 minutes by bus, which is this massive venue that opens at 10 p.m. and ends at 7 a.m. And it's where we program kind of the big headliners of every year And this year we have Gorillaz and LCD Sound System and Diplom, Bonobo and many others.
So how did you get involved in the festival? Did you know the partners right at the beginning, or did you become involved a bit later on?
That's a funny story indeed. So I know them since the beginning. Actually, I was at that time in 94, I was working in the Spanish Collecting Society, so the MCPS, PRS, or CISAC, or one of those. And Enrique, Sergio, and Ricard were coming to the Collecting Society to present the project and talk to my boss at that time. So I get to know them very well. Then I left the Collecting Society, worked in the record music industry, BMG. Then I jumped into Yahoo. I end up managing Yahoo Music internationally. And one day I told my boss that I wanted to quit my job. I was like fed up of catching planes. And 30 minutes after that conversation, Sergio gave me a call and asked me whether you would like to come back to Barcelona and work with them. So it was really serendipity, or
you know, he wasn't listening into your conversation, was he?
I told him, like, well, you have a webcam here or what?
Yeah.
I just told this to my boss. So that was back in 2009. And since then, I've been helping them and acting as the CEO of the company, not the music festival, but the company that promotes sonoplasty. But I mean, my background always has been, I'm a lawyer actually, but I've been always involved in music and technology. So working here at Vans Music, Sonar is kind of the most incredible thing that has happened in my career.
You talked about Advanced Music versus Sonar. Advanced Music is the kind of overall company, and the festival's expanded into a bunch of different places in the last few years. I think this year, is it Iceland, Argentina, Hong Kong, Turkey, Colombia? It's pretty amazing places. Could you tell me a little bit about some of the challenges around expanding into those markets and why you chose those locations to start festivals in?
Yes, it's has been a incredible journey. We started in 2002 to promote, organize sonar festivals around the world. You are correct. I mean, this year we have done all those cities. Most of them is not the second or the third time. We have been in those cities for many years, like Reykjavik. It has been the sixth edition, I believe. And it's so how we choose it, it's a mix of many things. First of all, we are a small company, not very big, so we have the privilege to look at new opportunities, obviously as a new business model and business opportunity, but also as a way to enrich our knowledge of music globally and a way to enrich our network of events and festivals. So we don't see us as a list of events happening during the year. We are more like a platform or a network of cities that work together and work in favor of the global effect that this have. So whenever we are looking at a new opportunity, we really look at that opportunity isolated, but also how this new city can bring more value to the whole network. Whether there is a local creative community that we can discover, learn from it, and maybe like keeping this or taking this creative community and exporting it or to other festivals. So let me give you an example. We have Sonar Reykjavik, which is Reykjavik. It's a 150,000 city. The total country is 300,000 people. So it's very small. Probably it's like, a neighbor in Barcelona or a street in Hong Kong. So probably there is not a lot of business opportunities there in terms of P&Ls. But then you combine this with the density and the great music talent that the island has. So over those years, we have discovered so many acts that we have promoted both in Reykjavik, but also in other cities. And this is actually one of the ways that we can curate festivals with such a a different appeal or different angle than other festivals, because we really are a global brand that is listening what creative communities are doing all around the world.
So do you choose the locations more based on the existing creative community rather than the size of the market? Like you say, Reykjavik is a tiny city and Iceland's a very small country, so it would look like it's not the best place to do a festival because there's not enough people. But I guess if you're thinking about it from a different lens of building around a creative community, suddenly it's a whole different way of thinking about it.
Indeed. Also, we have, as I said, we have the luxury of following our gut feeling sometimes. And sometimes we discuss a new city and we are in a table with, I don't know, five people and say, well, how do you like Reykjavik? And you feel that everybody is like really looking forward to go to that city, and there is movement, there is excitement, and we believe our audience will feel the same way as us with a new city.
So with, say, programming and logistics and things like that, do you tend to work with a local partner there, or are you guys running everything from the Barcelona HQ when it comes to new cities?
No, we always rely on local promoters. I mean, you never need to underestimate the local knowledge. So we always have the help of local promoters. We obviously keep the Sonar flavor, the Sonar ADN, but we also want to be kind of localized, mingle with local things. So Sonar Reykjavik shouldn't be the same as Sonar Barcelona. Sonar Bogota needs to have its own flavor, and that's what we like. We like to be kind of utilized and being something different without losing our values.
That makes me think about the identity and the artwork that's been used. I remember, I think the first Sonar I went to in Barcelona was 2006, I think. And I remember being really struck by the artwork for all the posters and everything else. It was really interesting and quite out there and quite left field. And I think that theme of that really strong kind of art identity has been a key part of the festival. I always think about, when I think about Sonar, I always think about that very stark artwork. When you're thinking about planning the festival, say for Barcelona, are you thinking about the art and the music programming at the same time? Are you thinking about the branding after you start programming? How does that process work of kind of the creative concepting?
One of my partners, Sergio Caballero, it's actually the artist behind those images and creativities. So he's an artist himself, and every year he presents us a creativity that will be the image of the festival. It's a very funny way to do it, because on a regular company, like marketing, will brief kind of the artist to present an image that will follow the marketing needs. But in this case, it's absolutely the contrary. We give the artist, in this case Sergio, absolutely freedom to come up with whatever he wants to do on that year. And the image has been very, very different from Phantoms, from Maradona, the parents of the founders. I mean, completely unrelated imaginary with what you will consider an electronic festival. Actually, this year we are doing an exposition that is going to be in Barcelona during the Sonar Festival, but before and after. That it's kind of it goes beyond the image, but it will give you a sense of all the images that has been produced for the festival over those 25 years.
So let's dig into that a bit more. So maybe for somebody that hasn't been to a Sonar event, whether it's in Bogota or Barcelona, what could they expect? What does the festival feel like, and what's the experience for an attendee?
That's something that we try to keep it very, very carefully. It's the experience. So we obviously want to have the best lineup possible, and a very mixed lineup with different artists, some of them very well known, but also very upcoming talents that we tend to discover. But also, I think the atmosphere of the Sonar events, no matter which city you are, it's slightly different from other festivals. You have this this feeling of being discovering something, whether it's a new act, a new DJ, a new artist, or a new technology that is related to the creative industries or the entertainment in general. Also, it's very important, the attendees, our public. I think in all the cities, there is a common feeling. It's people that has an appetite for discovering new cultural things.
I really want to talk about Sonar D. So that's the kind of technology strand of the festival. I think when I first came, I think this actually the second time I went was via the advertising agency I worked at, because there was this really interesting fusion of creative industries and tech and music, like you say, and it was really interesting for them to explore. So I went on a work trip to Sonar almost, and I remember I bought the Sonar Pro Pass, which was back then was the kind of program that captured all of the kind of technology and art side as well as the music. Could you explain how maybe the Sonar Pro concept has evolved into Sonar Plus D and how that's grown over the last few years?
Yeah, so since the beginning, Sonar has focused on the link between creativity and technology. And we have been, since day one, a meeting point for creative people from different media disciplines and communities. But when we turned 20, we really look at why people were coming to the festival. And we find out that many people were not only coming to the festival to have fun, but to learn something that they can afterwards get back to their cubicles or labs or wherever they work. So we made the reflection that we should be giving those people an extra layer of information. So it was not enough just with listening to the music, dancing, and having a good time, which is very important, still is, but also for this community, which were people like broadly working in the media industry, technology industry, giving them a full proper program of creativity, technology, and business. And so on Sonar Plus D, we have, over the last years, we have had the luxury of having panelists such as Bjork, Brian Eno, Richie Hawtin, Jean-Michel Jacques, Holly Hardon, but at the same time mixed with companies such as Google, Spotify, Vimeo, and many others. So it's still a weird combination of how creators can be innovators or can be the principal assets for innovation in society.
So if we take the technology part maybe a step further, obviously technology is a key part of what the festival stands for, but there's obviously lots of technology that you guys implement from a production and delivery and creative point of view as well. Could you explain about some of the technology you've implemented in the festival, whether it is in production or whether it is in ticketing or something else, and maybe what works, what's worked well, and also maybe is there anything you've decided to stop doing for a certain reason?
I mean, as we've been programming artists who use technology, we have created this congress about creativity, technology, and business, Sonar Plus D. We, as an organization, needs to endorse technology on the same level. Yeah, pushing technology on that same level. So we have been making sure that technology was a great asset to make a better experience for our audience. One of the improvements that we have made last year was the cashless system, Sonar Cashless. So when you come to the festival, you don't need to wear all the time your credit card or cash or anything like that. So we put them a bracelet, and with that you can go within all the festival and pay without money. And this has give obviously a better experience to our attendees, because you have to queue, you have to do less lines. You can be served more quickly on bar lines or food and things like that. That's one of the key innovation that we have include to the festival. But also I will also like to mention other innovations which are not technological this way. So we were one of the, or we were like very focused on what other aspects of experience we can bring to our users. And we were one of the first festival who really make a point on food, on the food and beverage part of the of the experience. We began many years ago with food trucks and making sure there was the proper experience. But also since last year, in the VIP area, we have the luxury of having a Michelin star chef who prepare menus, a different menu every day. So this is kind of a non-technological innovation, which I'm also very proud of it.
Amazing. That probably ties in quite well to something that I like to talk about, which is food. We were talking about breakfast before we started recording. Barcelona is really well known for, and Spain more generally, for amazing food. If we think about the city more broadly, how do you think the city's changed since the festival began? Has the food scene changed? Has the nightlife scene changed? And what are the positives and negatives of the city also becoming so popular as a tourist destination for food and music and creativity and sun and all these other things?
You can imagine in 25 years how a city develops. We began the festival right after the Barcelona Olympics back in 92. At that time was a little bit, maybe crisis, but it's once you have done something incredible, incredibly good, you have a feeling of emptiness that I believe Sonar was one of the assets, events that helped the city to evolve. And we have been growing with the city. I would say that Sonar has been one of the main factors that has pushed the city to be more innovative, more cultural active, and attractive for both locals and foreigners. Obviously, right now it's not a secret, Barcelona is one of the hot destinations all over the world, which it's very good, but the expectations are very high. So you need, as a festival, also as a city, to renew those expectations and try to keep the momentum and sometimes the surprise effect or the wow effect, which is difficult to keep for such a long period.
So I know a few years ago, the By Day moved from the MACBA CCCB, which you mentioned at the beginning, which is more of like an arts venue, to the FIRA, right, which is near Plaza de España, which is a kind of bigger, almost like exhibition center. I think, was that like 4 years ago? Is that right?
I believe five.
Yeah. So was that move mainly just from a size point of view, in that the festival was getting bigger and that there were more people coming into the city and you needed to change capacity, or was it a different kind of reason to make that change?
I think it was a reason. We decided to move when we turned 20. And if there is something that we kind of dislike, is nostalgia. We really don't like to look at the past a lot. So when we turned 20, we wanted to think how the festival will look like in the next 20 years. So we needed a different mindset, a different territory to imagine different things. And MACBA CCCB didn't allow us to do different things. It was very compact, the venue, and we have been utilized the venue in such a different ways that there was no room for imagination. So moving to a bigger venue was not just to feed more people. It was to rethink how people want to interact and do within a music experience such as Sonar. So it gives us a different mental mindset.
Yeah, you talked about not wanting to look back and be nostalgic. I'm going to make you look back a little bit, but also look forward. The key ingredients to keeping a festival going for 25 years, and also you guys are looking, like you said, you're looking forward 20 more years. So, yeah. What do you think the key ingredients have been from taking a festival from 1994, which was like 3,000 people, to 120,000 now, what have been the main principles and foundations that have given Sonar such success, do you think?
I think first of all, it's moving away from our comfort zone. This is kind of a topic, but it's real. So every year we revisit everything that we have done and we try to improve, to present different things to our audiences and keeping the surprise effect year by year. Obviously, keeping our mission always on top of it, but moving away from our comfort zone and trying to present our audience things, acts, ways of experience than the music that they even don't think about it, right? So we need to surprise them.
Let's look at the festival market a little bit more broadly. So in 2018, what do you think the wider festival market looks like, and how has it changed in the last few years, and how do you think it will change in the near future?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Actually, we some years ago, we get rid of the festival word on our definition. We do no longer consider ourselves a music festival, although we have artists and we have music, but we want to go beyond that concept. Sometimes we believe that the concept of a festival, it's already gone and we have already experimented what everything that a festival can bring to a user. I think we need to move forward and put the concept in a different parameters. And we believe that we should be talking more about more like a laboratory, an innovation laboratory, rather than a music festival. I think there is a lot of powerness, like putting together so many people enjoying music that they like and doing things as we are doing in Plus D. So I think the concept will develop. New technologies are already there, and we will see completely new things in the next years to come.
Do you see more companies with their technology companies or other businesses in the creative industries? Do you see them becoming more involved as co-creators in this lab, like the kind of the concept that is past the festival? Do you think that businesses will become more involved in what you're doing?
Absolutely. I think every year we have seen more like regular standard companies approaching us because they want to learn from innovators such an artist. They want to be more close to the audiences, to the end consumers, which are not just end consumers, they are co-creators, as you mentioned. And we have been approached and we have been doing projects with companies that just 5 or 4 years ago, you will never think about us working with them. So we have been, in the last 12 months, we have worked with health institutions, with automobile car manufacturers. So many different industries that are approaching us. And in this very complex world, we believe that artists or creators in very broadly sometimes can give answers to the complex questions or opportunities that technology is bringing to us.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's really interesting. I can see the idea of co-creators becoming more and more popular and the kind of laboratory idea too. I think a lot of brands are trying to figure out what comes after just advertising. And yeah. I think the age of just being a sponsor or a partner in a festival and just sponsoring a tent or putting up a brand activation, I think that those days are kind of coming to an end a little bit. And I guess a lot of brands are thinking about what's next. And I suppose Sonar Plus D is a great platform for them to expose themselves in a different way.
Absolutely.
So I guess actually with that in mind, I was going to ask you what advice you had for a promoter, but I almost wouldn't call you guys promoters. I suppose it's more like experience designers or something like that. I don't know how you define yourselves, but for what advice do you have for someone who's maybe whether they're starting out or if they're already established to who wants to grow what they're doing in live events and live experiences, what would you advise them to do?
I think the idea or the concept needs to be new or at least unique, and it's very difficult to be unique those days, but at least authentic. I would not spend a minute or a dollar in copying already existing models. And if you have a good concept, I think it's a question of being a hard worker. Come to the office every morning, no matter you have been watching bands at night, you need to be 9:30 in the office or 9. And keep it hard for years, and I'm sure you will succeed. There is no secret ingredients. It's hard work, some talent, and good administration, probably.
And a little bit of luck, I suppose, as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
I wanted to switch back to the music side again. What else is getting you excited for this year? Which artists or innovators should we be looking out for at this year's Barcelona edition?
I mean, at Sonar by Night, you have like great artists such as I mentioned, LCD Sound System, or Thom Yorke, or Gorillaz, Diplo, Laurent Garnier. I mean, many great artists, which gonna do a terrific show. But also, if you come to Sonar by Day, you're gonna be exposed by enormous quantity of artists, which many of them you will not know it. But you will discover like your favorite artist for the summer. So I think that's kind of one of the best things of Sonar is you come there, you rely a little bit on our music judgment, and you will discover your favorite artist.
I just want to change lanes a little bit, actually. I'm really interested to get an insight into your day-to-day or week-to-week as a CEO of a live events business. Could you maybe explain a little bit about what your role actually entails?
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated because we are actually four partners, and although we all have a different profiles and a scope of our work, at the end of the day, we tend to jointly agree on many things. It's funny, like a year ago, a professor in a very prestigious business university came and did a case study on Sonar. And when we explained him how we operate on a day-to-day basis, the professor told us, well, that's exactly what I tell my students not to do it. But if it has worked for you guys, let's go. So it's very organized. Everybody knows exactly what needs to do, but at the same time gives freedom to employees and managing directors to kind of pursue their goals or finding a project that they personally want to do it, and give them the freedom to push for that little project. My role probably is more business oriented, trying to make sure that the overall company goes in the right direction. We are focusing on the things that will drive money to the company, will enrich our brand, and we are not doing probably crazy things. Sometimes we are a very creative company, and we can at sometimes get disturbed. So it's more about making sure what we say yes, and making sure that we say no to many things that comes to our table.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to say yes to everything, right? And saying no can be quite difficult sometimes.
Yeah, especially when you get excited by new things, it's difficult to say no.
Well, I suppose in your business, you are in the business of new, right? Because whether it's artists or technology or other kind of creative disciplines, you're in the business of saying yes to new things. So I suppose, yes, the role of having to say no is tough.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you on a personal note, your most memorable live experience that comes to mind, whether that is as an attendee at Sonar, whether it's I suppose in your role as the CEO of Sonar, or whether it's something completely different that you remember, whether it was a gig or something else. Is there something that comes to mind for you?
I mean, I was studying law and I was promoting and concerts, so really live music has been kind of the, what really get me into life. I think being at Sonar by Night in the main stage in Sonar Club and listening to your one of your favorite bands or your favorite song is something very, very special. I don't know. There are many, many moments that I completely forget that I was working on Sonar and I was just behaving like a fan. I remember, I don't know, New Order in front of 18,000 people singing a Joy Division song. And at that moment, like saying to me like, wow, I have the most incredible job in the world.
That's amazing. Ventura, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking. I'm going to try and get a flight to Barcelona from New York if I can.
You should come, yeah.
And also, Sonar happens around my birthday, so it's kind of been an ongoing thing for the last, like, 10 years. So I think I've got to get a flight, and hopefully I'll see you there.
Please try to do it. So I wish I can shake hands and say hi to you.
Cool. Look forward to it. And, yeah, best of luck with all the preparations for number 25.
Thank you.
Join us next time for another edition of Tickets. You can subscribe via Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, or listen back through SoundCloud and Acast. Tickets is an HBRO production. Find out more at hbro.com.